Welcome to the Artist Mother Podcast, featuring interviews with incredible working artists who are also mothers. Each week, you'll hear how they navigate these fulfilling and challenging roles, how they make art and mother their children. I'm Kaylin Butine, painter, mom of three, and now podcast host. I hope these interviews inspire and encourage you on your own journey as an artist and mother. Thanks for listening.
It's okay that it's not in balance. I'm balancing, like I'm trying to continually find the balance. And you get, you know, stronger in that process, and you become a better person in the process of making that balance happen the best that you can.
Okay, friends, today I am happy to introduce you to Denise Gosser. Denise is a mixed media artist. She was born and raised near the mountains of Utah. After receiving her BFA in art education, she lived in the San Francisco Bay Area for a time before moving to her current home in Vancouver. The further she ventured north, the deeper her work was permeated by the natural wonders of the Northwest Coast. Denise shares her home studio with her architect husband and their three young and very busy sons, and her work has been exhibited in Canada and the U.S. and is owned in private collections in several countries around the world. I'm so glad you're here, Denise. Welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so to begin, can you kind of just give us a brief rundown of your art career so far? Maybe share a little something about how you got started and what are some high points so far along your journey as an artist?
Sure. So I always loved art. I kind of always imagined myself going into art as a grown-up. Was always like the artist in the class, painting pictures, drawing a lot as a kid. Took all the classes my high school offered, which wasn't a ton, wasn't like the fanciest high school, but I did what I could. And then ended up majoring in art in college. It was sort of a tough decision just because, you know, it's not a very practical thing. I didn't really think I'd be good enough. My high school background wasn't great. So I just felt kind of intimidated. Mm-hmm. But yeah, after a couple years of doing a lot of generals, I finally took an art class and was just like, oh, it was amazing. It just felt like I finally was home. Like it felt exactly right. And so I majored in art. I did drawing and painting, and I also did a degree in art education so that I could teach high school, make it a little bit more practical, you know, for that, trying to answer some of the fears that I had, you know, about doing something risky. So yeah, so I did teach for a couple years afterwards. And
you taught high school art? I taught high school
art for 2 years, which was pretty great. I actually love teenagers. Surprisingly, they're pretty, their bark is worse than their bite, right? Yeah, they're super funny and super fun. And I loved working with them. But I have like, I would say not hugely high hopes for myself as like an art career. I don't know, like, I just thought, you know, I'll probably be one of those people that graduates and never really paints. Mm. I don't really know why. I think just maybe still playing off of a little bit of the insecurity of not having as much experience when I got to college as I felt like some of my other fellow classmates did. Mm. Or they just seemed to have like so much drive and ambition. And I just thought, I just like to make art, but I don't know if I'll really do it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so luckily when I graduated, several of my classmates ended up in Salt Lake City at the same time. And we had sort of this art critique group going where we would meet every month and bring our work and talk about art. And even we had some poets there and some architects. And it was huge for me because it got me painting every month. So
that's awesome.
Even while I was teaching high school, yeah, I was able to just squeeze in just enough. Mm-hmm. And we did a few art shows together. So I started getting some gallery experience there, which was awesome. So I think that kind of jump-started me into sort of, you know, the painting after school, which is a scary jump to make. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was great. And then when we moved to Berkeley, just across the bridge from San Francisco, my husband was doing his architecture degree there. And that was a tricky time because it was sort of this big transition. I didn't have an art community anymore. I had my first baby there. We had Liam, my oldest. Mm. And that time, you know, I wouldn't say I took a huge break, but I would say maybe almost a year or more, I didn't really paint much. And I think that's when I realized that I need to paint. I sort of took it as like, oh, I like painting. I'd like to keep painting if I can. But when I stopped painting and was, you know, just really caught up in motherhood and the busyness of life, that's when I started to realize like, yikes, I'm not liking this. I don't like who I am without art. And I was surprised by that and surprised by how much I needed it and how much I cared about it. And so I started back in making work on my own. I started my own art critique group, gathering sort of friends who were interested, and kind of got back into the swing of things there.
That's great. So I like how critique and community has kind of been a part of your journey from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think community is everything. If you don't have people surrounding you that know what your goals are and are pushing you to do those things that maybe also care about art or artists themselves, it's really easy to kind of just float away, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, you know, I think so many of us who are mothers who have experienced pregnancy and then having a child, you know, we've gone through an ebb and flow with our art. At what point did you kind of stop? Like, was it, did you make art like crazy until you had the baby and then you stopped? Or did you like kind of halfway through your pregnancy, you just started feeling uncomfortable and stopped painting? Mm-hmm. Like that's different for everyone. So I'm just curious, you know, where that year fell that you took off.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I was painting like crazy. So it was kind of a weird situation. I should mention that when we moved to Berkeley, we ended up through a strange kind of series of events living with an elderly woman who had dementia. Mm. And we were taking care of her in exchange for free rent. So it's very expensive.
Have you seen the show Ozark?
No.
Oh,
but
okay.
It sounds like maybe I need to.
There's a couple on the show that they buy this house, but there's, you know, a catch that when they move in the house, they have to live with this man who's kind of about to die, and he ends up living for like a year. And so
I could probably relate to that for sure.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those things, like when you live in a city with really expensive rent, especially when you're students, you'll do kind of anything for free rent. So we lived with this woman. She was quite amazing, actually. Her name was Mary, but she definitely, you know, was suffering from dementia and she needed quite a bit of care. So that, like, even before I had a baby, that was already sort of like having a child at home. Mm. And then I was working part-time at this really awesome, basically a tutoring center called Making Waves. And so I was tutoring students and loving that. And so between Mary and my job, I was just painting a little, I would say, and kind of exploring, like, what is it like to paint not too much, not take it super seriously. I'm just going to paint when I can. I didn't have a very dedicated studio practice. And I would say after I had my baby is when I started realizing more like, dang, like I'm really missing that part of myself and I've got to get back into the studio. Mm-hmm. So I had a little studio space there. So we lived in the top floor of the house and it was a great little room, like lots of windows and, so I started getting back in there and that's when I started the art group and started just getting some big panels and kind of exploring more with trees and patterns and just really didn't know quite where I was going with it, but I just knew that I needed to be making something. So during that time, I got a couple of commissions, which was great, mm-hmm. just through friends and just enough, like my art critique group, just enough to kind of get me back into making art. But I never like applied to shows or really went and did the gallery scene, which I really kind of regret because it's such a great city for that. I feel like it was sort of a missed opportunity, but you know, like I can't be too hard on myself. It was, I think I'm just glad that I was able to get back into making art at all. And so,
especially
just feeling good about that.
Having just had a baby and, you know, honestly, it sounds like you were pretty invested and had a lot of connections for being in sort of the thick of motherhood. So I don't know. You never know where some of your connections might circle back around to having a show in that area. So,
I think that's kind of a goal, is to get back there at some point. So when we moved to Vancouver for an architecture job for my husband, I just thought, I'm going to hit the ground running. And like right away, I started looking into the art community, looking at their local websites, call for artists, applying to shows. And kind of right away got a lot of traction. So that was awesome.
That's great. So I'm going to ask you to come back to that and describe kind of the art scene in Vancouver. But first, could you, just for any of our listeners who may have not seen your work before, could you sort of describe your art? Tell us about the medium that you work with, what materials you use. Tell us a little bit about your process in terms of the materiality.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I love, love, love drawing. I love charcoal, vine charcoal especially. I've been experimenting with watercolor, like water-soluble graphite. So I really like to stay connected to drawing. So usually I'll do a lot of drawing, kind of these organic shapes, usually trees, sometimes driftwood. And then I submerge them in many, many layers of thin paint, thin washes, kind of cloudy, soft colors. And then always some kind of element of bold geometry, kind of splicing through. I like to play with tension a lot, this sort of reality versus kind of a dreamlike state. I like tension between opposing forces, mm-hmm. I think is always nice. And definitely interested in sort of expressing the things that are unseen, like feelings or sounds or smells, thoughts, you know, the things that are sort of hard to express. So mm-hmm. kind of a combination of visual things, but also the unseen things, and how can we express that with visual language?
Mm. And I'm just thinking about your work and hearing you talk about sort of the juxtaposition between some of those things, it seems like the geometric shapes that you usually lay on top of the more organic mm-hmm. Material. What are those? Are those gouache or are those acrylic paint that you're using for the more harder, layers?
Yeah, so that's still acrylic. So in my works on panel, my larger works on panel, it's all acrylic. So I'll do charcoal, acrylic, gold leaf, graphite, sometimes watercolor pencils, things like that. When I'm working on paper, I've been exploring more with paper lately. Mm-hmm. And that is combination of watercolor and it's sort of like gouache. It's a really high pigment paint, like gouache, that I'm using for, it's called Flash, FLASHE, Flash paints. And so on the paper, the kind of bolder geometries are that like high pigment flash paint.
Well, I mean, that's a lot of material to be putting in one piece. And it seems like you're doing that very successfully.
Thank you. That's why I just say I mix easier.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to the art scene where you live. Can you tell us a little bit about what it's like there? You said you've built up sort of, or you said you dived back into the community when you moved mm-hmm. to Vancouver. Do you have a critique group where you are now? What is your community in terms of, you know, what you've built up around your art practice?
Mm-hmm. So Vancouver is kind of interesting. They have a lot of commercial galleries, a lot of artist-run centers. They don't have a lot of public spaces where you just can apply. Like mm-hmm. other cities I've lived in, they've got lots of these great kind of public centers that are really about bringing art to the communities. But I think probably largely because of the cost of real estate here, it's tricky to run something like that and get the funding. So a lot of the galleries are more like the commercial galleries who will represent a set number of artists. They're not really taking open submissions or open calls. Mm. So it's tricky to find those opportunities to show your work. Any kind of wall space is super valuable. And artists get very creative with how they show their work. They'll show it in open studios. They'll rent out a space. There's lots of pop-up galleries and things like that. So that part is tricky. I do apply, you know, to as much of those shows as I can. And I was able to get into several and have been able to do a couple of solo shows or two-man shows, things like that.
That's great.
But yeah, it's hard to come by for sure.
And how long have you been living back in the Vancouver area?
We've been here for about 6.5 years now.
Okay.
And I'd say I'm kind of finally starting to understand the gallery scene. It's a little bit complicated.
Yeah.
But
I think that's one thing.
Yeah, I'm getting a handle on it.
You just see artists, you know, immediately wanting a lot of traction. And, you know, I just think that would be a little bit encouraging to hear that you've been there 6 years and are just kind of starting to find your rhythm, because it can take a while.
Yeah, it's a lot, you know, making connections and just finding out what the spaces are. It's hard to know, like, where are people showing work? You really have to go out to the shows and be like, oh, I didn't know that they even showed work in this space.
Yeah, and especially maybe I can show my work here. With three kids that you have to make time to get there. I mean, that can be hard.
Yeah, so I have one, like, I did have an art critique group here for a while. A few of us were artists. Some people were just there to talk and kind of there for the food. It sort of died out after a while. I think there wasn't quite enough of us that were actually making art to sustain it. So it sort of, you know, petered out a bit. But I have one great friend, her name's Julianne, and she was doing a degree at Emily Carr, which is the big art school here. And she has two kids. So if she was chipping away, I think it took her like 9 or 10 years to finish her art degree at Emily Carr. So she's kind of been like my one-man lifeline. Like, we go out to art shows together. We go out in our minivans and like talk about our kids and cry.
Sometimes all you need is one.
Whatever is going on. Yeah. So she's been huge. And then as I've gotten around more, been to more shows, been a little more open in meeting people, you know, I have met a lot of really great artists. Lots of really, you know, warm and wonderful and kind artists here. Like Sarah G. Miller is so awesome. She's just here in North Vancouver. Mm. Kelsey Grazier is here close by. We've had some studio visits. Sarah Khan is here. Some of these artists that I've connected with sort of through Instagram, I've been able to meet in person. So I'd say that's, you know, a benefit of living in a bigger city. Even though it's hard to get exposure, there are lots of artists around to be found if you make the effort. Mm-hmm. And there's some great art to see too. So it's some big galleries that maybe I'm not going to be in for a while, because they're very, you know, high-end, very professional, showing really big artists. But it's so great to be able to go to those shows and just see what's out there, see what's happening in the gallery world. So it's very, very inspiring for sure.
That's really great. And even just having, like you said, access to good art, you know,
it's great.
Can influence your studio practice so much.
Yeah.
Okay. So can you tell us a little bit about who you are outside of your art career? Do you work another job? Do you, you know, stay home with your kids? Do you homeschool? Can you tell us a little bit about your family life? Just a few details.
Sure. Yes, three boys.
Three boys.
I definitely do not homeschool. Yeah, I can't quite wrap my head around homeschool because, like, I'm like desperate to get them to school. So
like,
I think it's amazing.
It?
Yeah, that exactly. And are you really coming home already? Yeah. So it's been great though. So I have an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, and then like a 1.5-year-old.
Oh.
So it's super busy. They're really busy, really curious kids.
Active.
Lots
of energy.
Of movement. Yeah. So much energy. So it's a little bit crazy. It's fun. Like, it's a really full life. It's a really busy life. I can't really picture it any other way. So yeah, but like having two in school this year has been awesome. So my 5-year-old started kindergarten this year, and having like the one drop off time and the one pickup time, and then, you know, the baby's nap time every day, some consistent quiet time for me is huge. I need that quiet space to myself.
Yeah. So how does childcare play into your art practice? Do you just kind of utilize nap time? Do you pay for childcare so that you can make art anytime in the week? Or does your spouse kind of swap? Do you have family nearby? Mm-hmm. Like, what's your situation kind of set up for that?
Right. Yeah, we do a little a few things. So I don't have any family close, which okay. is tricky. Mm-hmm. And so really I rely on nap time and then also my husband helping out. He's super supportive, really amazing, takes on a lot in the house, takes on a lot with the kids. We really work well together that way. So we're kind of a team and he's super encouraging of my work.
That's great.
And trying to support me and make sure I'm getting that time. So I used to try to say, okay, like every single nap time, you have to be painting. If you really care about your art, you'll spend like every spare minute painting. So I was trying to do it at like nap times and after bedtime and staying up till 2 a.m. and just squeezing it in wherever I could. And, you know, I kind of burnt out. I mean, there was a number of other factors like health factors and other things going on that kind of led to a sort of burnout after I had my second. So I had to really look for more balance. So I think setting really specific art hours has been huge for me. So I'm doing now just 2 nap times a week instead of all. Mm. And then on the other nap times, I am doing just normal person stuff, like trying to reply to emails, cleaning my house, like kind of the stuff that most moms try to get done during a nap time. I'm doing more of those things and it's been really good. So Tuesdays during nap time, I paint for a couple hours. Wednesday night, when my husband gets home, he comes right in the door, takes the kids, does dinner, and I sneak into the studio from like 7 to 10. And then Thursday, great. Yeah. And then Thursday, I do nap time again for a couple of hours. And then like the odd Saturday, like 2 to 3 Saturdays a month, I'll go in for a couple hours.
That's great. So, I think in this time, you know, of your life, it's all about balance and, mm-hmm. you know,
even, it's so hard, isn't it? Like so annoying. Yeah. I get like so sick of being like, do you have balance? Is your life in balance? And I'm always like, yeah. No, of course it's not.
Right.
But it's I think
endless spinning plates, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But I think that just like accepting that, like, it's okay that it's not in balance. I'm balancing, like I'm trying to continually find the balance. And you get, you know, stronger in that process and you become a better person in the process of making that balance happen the best that you can. But I think one of the best things about making studio hours was not just that I make the art happen, but also that it removes like the guilt, the art guilt when I'm not making art. So if I'm like, you know, do you get that where if you're like watching a show, you're like, oh, I'm so lazy, I could be painting.
Yeah. I mean, I feel some of that. But too, what I was going to say about you choosing not every nap, but, you know, 2 or 3 a week and doing the other 2 or 3, actually getting stuff done that you need to get done. I think sometimes that helps, you know, when you get to the studio, you have that stuff off your mind, you know,
like
you've done the meal planning and you've done the doctor's visits and you've done the admin work, or maybe you know that you're going to get to that. And so
you
can paint more freely and you're not stressing about it. And I think it's easy to get caught up in the, got to do it every day. Got to do it as much as I can, you know?
Yeah. And there's that like quote, like, art before dishes, art before laundry. And I'm like, that's totally true some of the time.
Sometimes.
But like eventually, you have to get that stuff done too. So just not being so hard on myself, having such high expectations to make art all the time.
Yes.
I'm actually getting way more done because I'm kind of putting my time in like chunks.
Mm-hmm.
And like when I'm in like work mode for the house, I'm getting a lot done instead of trying to do a little art and then, oh, the kids are home. I haven't cleaned the house or I have no clue what anybody's going to eat. You know, there's still, of course, days like that, but just giving myself a little more time to do other things and then having really specific time to do the art has made a huge difference for my art practice and my overall kind of happiness and well-being.
Yeah. And I think just trusting that it's going to be enough, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
Are you enjoying the newly launched Artist Mother podcast? I hope you're loving it. And if you are, consider supporting our work by spreading the news and sharing this podcast with your friends and social media followers. Please check out our website, www.artistmotherpodcast.com, for more information. And while you're there, stop by our shop where we have brand new, comfy and cute Artist Mother t-shirts for sale. You can also find us on Instagram at Artist Mother Podcast. Denise, can you tell us a little bit about your physical studio space? How has that changed like over the course of your art career? And, you know, are you working out of a spare bedroom? Like, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So when we were first married, we would always get little two-bedroom apartments. And in Utah, you know, it was a lot more affordable to get a two-bedroom apartment. And then I would just always use the spare bedroom as a studio. I mentioned in Mary's house in Berkeley when we were living with her, I had a nice little studio space upstairs, which was awesome. Moving to Vancouver was a bigger challenge because this is the most expensive city we've ever lived in. And real estate here is really like, I can't even tell you, it's so crazy. So having, we have a two bedroom apartment again, but we cannot use the second bedroom for a studio space because obviously we have a million kids.
Yeah.
So the kids have to go somewhere. So when I first moved here, I had an awesome setup, which I would totally recommend to people who have no space. I set up like in my kitchen living room area. We had this long room that was sort of kitchen, living, dining all in one long, weird space. So I just put a metal cabinet against the wall and an easel against the wall. And I kept all of my art supplies kind of locked in the cabinet or on top of the cabinet. And I just painted right there in the kitchen, which was kind of cool because, you know, while you're eating dinner or playing or doing other things, you see the art is there all the time and you'll kind of get ideas for what to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, as you're in that space. Mm-hmm. So that was great. But then as I wanted to start working on bigger pieces, I needed a little more space. So one weird, awesome kind of perk of our little apartment is a huge laundry room. It's so weird. It's the weirdest thing, but our laundry room is like bigger than our living room. Mm. It's just this huge like tile floor empty room with a washer and a dryer.
That sounds like the perfect art studio.
I know. I don't know why I didn't go in there sooner. I think that we were using it for like a toy room or something. And then at one point I'm like, what am I doing? Like there's this huge room in here with nothing. Like it doesn't need to be a toy room. So oh, we actually slept in there once. I don't know. We've really gotten creative with our space. That was our bedroom for like a year. We're always kind of rearranging. It's like musical bedrooms. So
yes, multifunctional house.
Yeah, you get super creative. People think they don't have room. You definitely have room somehow, some way. Yeah, we've gotten very creative. So now I'm in the laundry room / art studio.
Yeah, the laundry room is in the studio. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Just so happened to have a washer and dryer conveniently placed in my professional studio.
Yes, exactly.
So yeah, but it's actually pretty big. I've got a huge table in there. My art cabinet is in there. My easel is in there. It's got great light coming in through the window. And, you know, I can run a load of laundry while I paint sometimes.
That's great.
So it's good though. Any kind of dedicated space, it doesn't have to be a full room, but if you have a place where you know you can keep your supplies and keep your work, you're so much more likely to make art.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Denise, can you talk to me a little bit about your art after or the motherhood project, as you kind of gave it a second title? And I'm just going to read a little blip that you had written on your website about this project or this body of work. It says, "This series is my attempt to reconcile the tension that exists between my vital roles as artist and mother. Bridging the gap between creative aspirations and physical reality, I embrace the interruptions that typically hinder the creative process." I just love the way that you put that. And, you know, obviously this podcast was born out of that tension. Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit about that body of work and just kind of run through some of that for me?
Yeah. So after I had my second son, I kind of talked about that burnout that I went through. So I had an opportunity to show my work at this space, and I had a 30-foot wall to fill with my work. And, you know, after I gave birth to my second son, I still had to create a bunch of work for that. So he was a baby, and I was making all this work trying to fill this wall. and really starting to see, like, this just felt like it felt like it wasn't working. I felt tired all the time. I felt like it was too much. And this is like a super sad thing. Maybe I shouldn't say, but when I was painting, I was trying to also hold my baby in a carrier, and he actually slipped out and dropped on the floor while I was painting. And it was like the most devastating thing. And also just like this weirdly symbolic moment where I felt like, you literally can't do this. Yeah. You literally can't do both. You just proved it to yourself. This isn't working, you know? And like, it was really a hard time. And, but I also knew that I couldn't quit because, you know, I had kind of done that in Berkeley for a little while, and it was just not good for a creative person to stop creating. It's just like a terrible feeling.
Mm-hmm. And like, you could have been doing the dishes. You could have been, XYZ.
Not like, dropping babies.
Right.
like actually keeping my children physically safe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was hard. So I was still doing that art critique group at the time. And my friend that I mentioned before, Julianne, who was doing school at Emily Carr, was working on a photo series, kind of exploring themes of motherhood. And so we talked about maybe doing a show of some sort about art and motherhood. And I was thinking, like, how would I represent motherhood in art form, which you do really well, by the way.
Thanks.
Very, very beautiful work. And so I thought, okay, I don't want it to necessarily be very literal. How can I kind of exploit the challenges of motherhood? So at first I was like, maybe I should make a series where I can only use one hand. And like, my other hand is tied behind my back because, you know, so much of motherhood is one-handed.
Yeah.
And then I thought, that's just going to be miserable. But, you know, that kind of like got me thinking, like, what could I do? Maybe I'll do a ton of just like 2-minute paintings, something really fast. And so sort of out of this conversation, you know, came upon the idea of, what if I only can work until I'm interrupted? So what I landed on was the idea to do a series of 5x7-inch paintings, all the same size, where I can only paint each piece until I get interrupted. And then I have to stop and I can't go back and finish or make another mark or do anything else ever again. So on the back of each panel, I write the time that I started, the time that I got interrupted, the time that the painting finished, and then what the interruption was. So that kind of documenting, it's almost journaling too, but just kind of showing like a glimpse into the reality of what it's like to be an artist mother who is constantly interrupted, who is kind of in this really crazy, busy, full, kind of weird world, because the interruptions are really bizarre stuff. Like, the baby climbed into the dishwasher. You know, like, this is my life.
Yes.
And so it's kind of a way of just showing like what it's literally like to be a mom.
Yeah. But too, I think that one of the beautiful things about that project is it almost extends the life of the painting, because you're not just, you know, the painting doesn't just end the minute that you're interrupted. The interruption becomes part of the work. You know, in a way, it's a performance piece that's kind of tied into the painting, which is really interesting, you know, like putting that limitation on it and, you know, your own limitation, but also embracing, you know, the act of mothering the instant after you're interrupted kind of blends that line in a way. So I really like that.
Yeah. And it's a little bit scary too. As I start each piece, I don't really know how long I'm going to have or what point it's going to end. So some of them are obviously not like my best work, or they're embarrassing even, but it's a good way to kind of be vulnerable and just sort of push myself to try new things.
Absolutely.
And be okay if it doesn't work out or doesn't look perfect.
Yeah. And
so the inspiration,
you know, they can't be fussy, right?
No. And I'm quick. I'm very instinctual. Right. I don't have time to second guess or really even make a plan. So I think that's been really good for me to see that, my instincts, I can trust my instincts, and that sometimes the things that I'm doing just those quick decisions turn out great. Mm-hmm. And they might be something that I use when I'm doing, you know, my larger pieces. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And they're very different. Like each one, I'm trying to just take inspiration from daily life with the kids. So some of them are, you know, inspiration from maybe landscapes we've seen as we're out for a walk, or things we pick up, or, you know, the color of my kid's shirt or their Legos on the floor, or an apple that somebody's eating, just to keep it like really fresh and lots of new things, really different. And I think that kind of adds to it because, you know, with the whole thought in mind is to have all of these show together in a gallery.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of people walking through and exploring, and every piece kind of draws you in because they're each completely different, their own little entity. So
that's really beautiful.
It's been it's been really good for me to kind of break out of my typical subject matter of trees and driftwood and get to do a little still life every now and then, which I think artists kind of want to do. I think we sometimes can get bored doing the same thing too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. So I like the way that project kind of gives some breathing room for how your journey as a mother weaves its way into your art. Could you also follow up with, you know, by answering this question, how does being an artist influence the way that you mother?
Oh, I think that being an artist, you know, a lot of it is just figuring things out as you go. And I know not all artists are the same, but I feel like a lot of artists are a bit more maybe instinctual, a bit more willing to not have to follow a specific plan, to let things sort of unfold as you experience them. And I think, yes, there is part of me that's a little bit type A that wants to control everything, but for the most part, I'm pretty easygoing, and I kind of let things unfold in the moment. So if the kids are trying to get my attention and do something else, I kind of let myself be interrupted pretty easily, which is funny because I have a whole series that basically shows that. But if we have a plan, you know, to go somewhere and then they're trying to get me to do something else or show me something else or invite me to play some weird game, I usually will kind of follow that and let them take the lead sometimes. And maybe that's influenced kind of by my being an artist. And then obviously we talk a lot about creativity, or like when we're reading stories, I often will tell them who the illustrator is so they can kind of see kind of commonalities. When they see that illustrator again, it's kind of fun, you know, for them to recognize that. So there's little things like that where I think like being an artist comes through. But yeah, mostly I think just my willingness to kind of let things go a little bit and be a little bit more willing to explore.
That's great. Okay, one more question and then we will do our final five to close our interview. So I would love mm-hmm. for you to share what are some of your goals for 2019?
Ooh, that's a good question. So I am looking to show Art After in a gallery. So originally, you know, it was meant to go in a gallery, but, you know, some of the artists that were in on this project, it just wasn't quite working out. We had applied to a couple places, but it's just, you know, between life and motherhood, we never really were able to see it through as a group. So I just kept making these pieces on my own, started sharing them on Instagram, and that has been awesome to kind of get that Instagram community. But I've always envisioned these pieces showing all together in a gallery space. So my goal this year is to find that space. I'm in touch with a couple places. I'm really hoping one of them will pull through. So I'll definitely let you know if that happens,
because
it's going to be an awesome show. Yeah,
and you're meaning the art after body of work,
yes,
right?
Okay. Exactly. So I already have like almost 200 pieces. So
in a small gallery. Amazing.
Yeah.
And you haven't sold any of them. Like you haven't put them up for sale. I love that.
No.
Protect that work until you're ready. You know,
exactly.
I love that.
Exactly. I'm pretty stubborn that way. Cause I'm like, okay, well, I want these to show in a gallery. And if they do, they all have to be there. They're numbered like one through whatever.
Right.
So I want them shown chronologically in a gallery, in a grid, just completely filled, the walls filled with the art that I've made in these little snippets of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll be really awesome to see how the minutes of time add up to something big and something amazing. So that's a huge goal,
well,
is
I
to get that
you
up.
Achieve that goal. That would be amazing.
Me too. Me too. And I'll definitely, yes, definitely let you know if that works out.
Please let us know.
And maybe even work it into a book of some sort.
Oh,
I think
that
could be cool.
Great.
Yeah. So that's one big thing. I want to keep exploring works on paper and see where that goes, because I worked on panel for so long. I'm excited about this last series that I started was on paper, and it's been really fun to let the materials take over a bit more,
mm-hmm.
let the paint and the paper kind of play and surprise me a bit more, give up some of that control. So that's another goal. And then, maybe do a little bit of creative consulting. I've been working with a couple of women who, one who really has no art practice established, but wants to. So I've been working with her on just like how to get started. Let's talk about your space. Let's talk about your time. When is your studio hours going to be? Giving her a project. You know, sometimes we just need somebody to like help us like cut the crap, you know, like get to the heart of like what's holding you back. And let's just like make a little plan. And it's been really fun. And I really enjoy kind of working with people on kind of sifting through some of their excuses or some of even their real reasons why they're not able to make as much art or any art, and help them find a way to establish a creative practice. So I'm thinking about maybe turning that into something this year. We'll see.
Well, those are three big goals, but three goals that I know that you can do. I mean, they're big and they're amazing, but they're totally doable. So you got this.
I think so. Especially because Art After is already pretty much done. It just needs to have some walls to hang on.
Yes.
So,
well, that's exciting. Okay. So let's wrap up the interview with our final five. I'm going to ask you five questions and you can just give us a quick response and we will just learn a little bit more. Okay. What are you currently reading?
Ooh, so I'm doing a lot of audiobooks.
Mm.
That's been the best thing ever. So audiobook, I just started listening to Daring Greatly by Brené Brown.
So
it's been really good so far. Yeah. All my audiobooks are going to be like the pump you up, empowerment, self-help kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then on my nightstand, I'll usually have like a novel or something to like read before I fall asleep. So on my nightstand, I'm reading The Devil in the White City.
Ooh.
It's about the Chicago World Fair.
Ooh, that sounds
pretty
good.
Pretty interesting so far. Yeah. Although they just introduced like a serial killer plot, so it might not be my bedtime. Yeah.
Odd twist.
I'm like, okay, I'm not going to fall asleep to this, so might have to move off the nightstand, but yeah.
Okay, and if you watch much TV, what are you currently watching?
Oh, I love TV. We watch a lot of Netflix. We're kind of taking a break from TV shows right now. We've been watching more movies, but just tons of like really stupid like chick flicks.
Nice.
We like brain candy, and it's nice. My husband and I have basically the same taste.
That's great.
So he likes all the chick flicks with me. So
yep,
like,
there's
just
nothing
recently,
like a husband who will watch a chick flick.
Seriously, it's so nice.
I've got one of those.
So yeah, we just have to kind of shut off our brain. So we'll pretend sometimes like we're going to watch something real. Like, yeah, there's this cool documentary I heard about. And yeah, oh, there's this great indie film that's been winning all these awards. We could totally watch that. And then it's like, yeah,
you're scrolling.
Or there's this like, there's this like spy film where like it turns out the husband and wife are like both spies, and yeah, let's do that.
That's great.
Well, yeah, it's like we never really want to commit to anything too serious, so yes. But the most recent one that I loved, that everybody loves, is that cute little teen movie, To All the Boys I've Loved Before. Have you seen that?
Oh no, I haven't. Is that
on
Netflix?
Gosh, it's so, yes, it's so
okay,
cute. I think it's,
we're gonna check it out.
Yes, To All the Boys I've Loved Before. Just like innocent little high school romance, you know, exactly what you want when you don't want to think about anything. But
great. And this is a good time of year to watch those kind of movies. So that's good.
Yes.
Okay. What would you do if you had a whole weekend to yourself?
I would do as little as possible. I love indulging in like nothingness. So I would, you know, weather permitting, not this time of year. Like my dream is just lay on the beach for hours and read a book. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds pretty dreamy.
Or take a nap or watch TV. Like anything in like a reclining position, I'm pretty much going to be into. I can sit on the couch and just stare at the walls and think about life. And I'm totally happy to do that for hours. So yes, nothing ambitious, nothing productive, just completely indulgent laziness.
That's great. What is your beverage of choice?
Weirdly right now, I'm drinking Dandy Blend.
Oh, is that it's alternate coffee? Tea.
Yeah, it's this dandelion tea that my mother-in-law gave me for Christmas last year. Mm. And I'm scarily hooked on it. I drink it all the time. So I recommend it if you're not wanting to drink much coffee. Dandy Blend is my thing right now.
The way to go. Cool. Okay. Yeah. And final question. We're all about community. So in the spirit of community, because let's face it, we can't do this alone. Is there anyone that you'd like to give a shout out to or thank for supporting you in your art?
Oh, that's a nice question. I think for sure my husband, Dan, who does a ton to help me out. He does computer work for me sometimes, technical stuff I don't want to deal with. He's awesome about doing housework and kid work and kind of making sure that I'm sticking to my studio practice. So definitely thank him. And then obviously my friend Julianne, who I mentioned before, with our minivan art show visits, minivan late night talks, a lot of minivans. But yeah, she's kind of my lifeline to the art motherhood balance. We have a lot in common that way. We kind of keep each other going. So definitely a shout out to her as well.
Well, that's great. Denise, thank you so much. You are amazing. You are inspiring. You are just everything that an artist mother should be. And I'm just so grateful that you are part of this community. Thank you for sharing more of your story and giving us kind of a behind the scenes look at your art and your life. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate you thinking of me for this. And I was so happy to talk to you as well.
The Artist Mother podcast is curated and produced by Kaylin Butine. Music by Josh Middleton. Editing and mixing by John M. Butine. Please visit www.artistmotherpodcast.com for episode notes and to find out how you can further support this podcast.